Well, thank you. It's my pleasure to be here today. I have horticultural roots. That was my educational background. And one thing I've learned is I've had a lot of experience with horticulture and non-horticulture extension projects over the course of the last 10 years. And I've really realized that cultivating a social media strategy is a lot like cultivating a healthy crop. And so I just wanted to bring that into play. I also worked to create some online advanced IPM training about 7 years ago, and it reconnected me with the idea of the steps of IPM. And so, you know, creating a plan and then paying attention to what happens in that field is very important, because you learn from that that environment, and then you evaluate, and that helps you learn how to cultivate and recommend new strategies for the future that help you cultivate a new pathway to that healthy environment. So moving forward, one of the experiences I'll share today is the National Extension Master Gardener Facebook page. This started in 2010, and I was working with the National eExtension Initiative, and we wanted to share research-based information. We thought Facebook might be a good way for Master Gardeners to do it. We wanted Master Gardeners to exchange learning experiences, and we wanted to do it on an open platform, so people that wanted to become informed gardeners could also connect with that information and the resources of the system. The other project is what I am currently, is my current role, and I'm on the Military Families Learning Network project, which is a cooperative agreement between USDA and the Department of Defense. And we provide online professional development that connects military family service providers from branch services, DOD, non-governmental organizations, and then, of course, cooperative extension. So we connect all of these service providers through professional development. But we have another portion of our mission that is really about cultivating a skilled and virtual informed network of service providers across the globe. So we want to connect a learning community that can support military families, support their unique services and conditions across the globe. So we do this by providing webinars, and we wrap them around with social media. So this looks like some of the slides from the last session. We have a webinar. We go out before the webinar, and we try and find information and resources that put this topic on people's mind. We share on Facebook and Twitter. During the webinar, we'll do some live tweeting, so we break that into bite-sized pieces that people can discover our information about. And then afterwards, we really try and make it possible for people to have a synthesized portion of that experience. We share stories back out. Sometimes we'll capture the best tweets with Storify, and we'll share that back on a blog post. And the idea is to really extend the learning experience out to our broader network. I should also say that we have 5 teams that do this in different subject matter areas, and so it's their role to be sharing, and they do this on Facebook and Twitter are their primary accounts. We've dabbled in Instagram, but it seems like our demographic is really in Facebook and Twitter. So social media gets connected with marketing a lot, but for our programming, it becomes part of the informal learning experience, and I think I need to do more talking about this, because we have to figure out as educators how to create little bits of habits that allow us to be in these spaces, but also to promote our program. And I think that's where the magic happens, or where I've seen the magic happens, because we start to find out and listen and connect with our stakeholders, and we find out who these people are that care and share, because they're not always the people we predict. And why not try and cultivate that network? In addition, it helps if you can plug that in and evaluate back to that final step of IPM, you can create innovative programming pathways if you're paying attention. So that's exciting to me. So I want to talk about what I've seen that gets people engaged and how you can cultivate a network of those who care and share if you're paying attention. So we talk about this a lot with our concentration area teams at the and their topic area teams, but that's what we call them at the Military Families Learning Network. We talk about how to crack the nut, because our service providers are kind of quiet on social media, but we really want to drive forward with learning engagement opportunities. So we're always trying to figure out how to crack this nut, how to get people to participate. And one of the questions that came up is, are we really not engaging them in the learning experience if they're not commenting? So we started to look at what was really happening and how we could engage those learners and how we could cultivate this network of those who care and share. And then there's also the quality of followers. Do we not have engagement because we don't have the quality of followers? With the Master Gardener program, when we tried to crack the nut, we were just sharing links to information. And I just thought, oh, there's all these great extension resources. I know how wonderful they are. If I post the link, someone will say how great it is, right? Wrong. So it took us a couple years to figure that out. And finally, we got some Master Gardeners that could really speak to other Master Gardeners. And they flipped the dynamic from sharing links to question prompts and letting the multiple varieties of perspectives about how we address certain questions come up. And it's been amazing. So when I left, there were 2,000 followers, and once we got these Master Gardeners on board that were comfortable and they knew their boundaries, it's now at 64,000, and that's a pretty amazing presence. So go to facebook.com/Master Gardener if you're looking for ideas for good posts. But in Military Families Learning Network, curation is the model for our social media strategy. And curation is something marketing people do all the time. You seek out information, you synthesize it into really great formats that people want to read and view, short, bite-sized, and then you share that back out with your audience. And so that idea is how you build a following. You create unique information. Well, we think that the role of having a learner-centered program is to facilitate the exchange of experiences and stories. And so we really prioritize that as a program goal. And then we also have a goal that we want to understand the issues that people are understanding. So we prioritize seeking and making connections by finding, following, and listening. And then last but not least, we're a collaborative network. So it's really important to think about who we're going to share with. Think about taking those stories that we find and share them back out so other people can make connections with those story points to cultivate that network of those who care and share. So I'll use this model to share what we're learning about how we are cultivating that network. And I'll start with seeking. So we, as I mentioned with the, I'm going to call it MFLN. With MFLN, we've started to look at seeking, because we were really focused on breaking out our information into bite-sized pizzas and sharing. But one of the things that's really shifted the dynamic on building the quality of followers is going out and finding people. So one of the ways we do this is we make people a little more visible. Rather than thinking of them in kind of this fuzzy concept, we'll take a programming topic, we'll go out to search on Twitter. We'll use some of those keywords that would be in the program topic or people would use to search for that topic on the web, and we'll try and find other accounts that are interested in that topic. We also, at the same time, will look for hashtags they're using so we can tap into that collective community. What happens then is we can turn that into a tweet where we can use those hashtags, and we'll find accounts that we can tag or mention. And that has been a game changer for us in terms of building quality connections. Now, it might only be like maybe 3 people that you come up and follow from that one search. But over time, if you have 8 program webinars a year, that starts to add up. And so we start to cultivate that network. The other thing that I think is great that we have started to do is to pay attention to our presenters' social media accounts and mention them and tag them on Facebook. That taps into what I think they call as a micro-influencer. So they will share our tweet, and that engages us with their network and vice versa, and they get the credibility. So that's one tip I'd love to see us in Extension doing more of. When we have collaborators that we work with to just network a little bit. So targeted ads. I was thinking targeted ads were bad because we don't do ads, right? But targeted ads I found are a really great way to understand how to connect with people. Facebook uses different terms than I would have thought of. and it distributes it for you in a targeted way. So we just did our first targeted ad to direct people to buy tickets. I swear it said get tickets when I created this. But it drove about 18,000 people in 2 weeks for $200 to our website, and we got 500 clicks. Compare that to a regular Facebook post of 3 clicks. And so the cool thing about that, again, these were the things I did not think of. To target people in fields of studies, it just seemed I was out here and I needed to get in here, and that's what Facebook helped me think about. And then we targeted cooperative extension professionals. So it's been really easy for us to get DoD professionals to our webinars. Cooperative Extension is such a diffuse network, and we don't really know who the military family's supporters are unless they get paid to do military family work. So this put the message in front of people. It put us on the radar. And additionally, we found out that all of our posts were targeted on Saturdays. Not all, but the majority were targeted on the weekends. People clicked between 10 and 5, and every single click was on mobile. So now we can take that information and figure out how to target this audience with information and for the platform they're using. That was just so insightful. I have no measurement that tells me if this works, but creating Twitter lists around stakeholders can be a great way for our teams to cut down on seeking out information. You get a clean stream of information from different stakeholder groups, you pay attention, and then you have a better intersection point to start a conversation. And so our teams will do this, and if they see a program topic that someone might like in that Twitter stream, they'll reach out and say, hey, so-and-so, I think you might like this. And then those people often retweet, follow, or just build a better working relationship on Twitter. Google Alerts, this is another thing that works sometimes. So we did a Google Alert for retirement military site. For our retirement webinar with our personal finance group, and we used .gov sources. This dished up two or three resources before the webinar. And they were all great quality resources, so we shared those links on Facebook. It saved us a lot of time. And this can also be a great strategy for finding blogs that you can comment on. So sometimes the best way to get people to go to your resources is to leave a helpful comment with that resource. So I think this is a good strategy. Again, we don't have a lot of measurement on it, but it seems to work once in a while. Sense making. So one of the things that we prioritize is time to chat. So in our professional development, we try and stop like every 7 to 12 minutes and just pause and reflect so people can take in the material that they're talking about. And by doing that, that's where we exchange experiences and resources. And we learn a lot from our service providers of what's helpful for military families through those experiences. And then those types of things really become insightful for sharing back out on social media. When I talked to Nancy, who takes Thursdays on the Facebook page, the Master Gardener Facebook page, I asked her, what's the game changer for you in terms of building a following? And she said, engagement, hands down. Create engagement opportunities. And she said, two types of engagement, lightweight, so just share with me your experience. What's blooming in your landscape? Here's what's happening at my home. And that works really well. And then the other is to take on something that's, I don't want to say necessarily controversial all the time, although they've talked about GMOs, and she said just be well staffed. So that can be a great way to participate. The Master Gardeners do almost all of the management on this page, but when they talk about GMOs, they need some specialists on call. So that's a great way, I think, for specialists to be able to partner. They don't have to spend all their time on social media, but they can contribute and help guide that conversation. So Facebook Live, the point of sharing Facebook Live here is not that it's the most engaging platform, but sometimes you have to play the Facebook game, and Facebook really likes Facebook Live. And so you can really boost your reach. And by the engagement in the chat, that helps bolster your reach as well. So this particular video is with our personal finance team, and Barb O'Neill gives, I'd say, 70% of facilitates 70% of our webinars. Her handle's at MoneyTalk1 if you want to see a great example of what it looks like to be on Twitter and be focused on a topic and build a network. You can follow her. But they did a savings challenge, and so they had emails going out once a week. The goal was to save $100 over 30 days, and on Fridays they would talk about saving strategies with the professionals. So a lot of us on our team were here to kind of plant the discussion, but then we had service providers, and all of that strategy together really worked well to boost the following through that Facebook Live session. Has anybody Facebook Lived from the field, you know, sharing what you're learning? How'd that work?
Pretty well.
Yeah?
Pretty well. I mean, I'm an extension guy, so we do a lot of that. But I've done it a couple of times. The one that was most engaging was we have a big pollen load on some of our trees, and people's allergies were doing that. So I did a Facebook Live about the pollen load, and I got a lot of feedback and a lot of engagement that way.
Yeah. Excellent. That's great to hear. I think Facebook Live is just such a great tool for extension educators. The cool thing is when you follow someone on Facebook Live and they go live, you'll also get a notification, so it can be kind of cool for timely information. So I want to talk, we talked about Flipgrid. Some of our teams have used Flipgrid. It's not necessarily a way we build a following, but it's a nice program tool. We've used it to exchange experiences, but we had to cultivate, we had to go out and find people to share their experiences first, because people weren't really that comfortable sharing in that video format. So I just wanted to point that out and connect that to the last session. So sharing is where we really focus on building the network. This is an Instagram account from Pinellas, say it again? Pinellas County, and I follow it, and I love what they do. They basically scrapbook a lot of their programming and what's going on, and so I just thought this was great. They took a video or a picture and just talked about them collecting water samples. They told a little bit about why they did that, and then they promoted their next extension opportunity. So here was a great, you know, that Venn diagram, marketing and formal learning. I think that was the sweet spot. Going forward, I think one of the things about creating good habits to cultivate a network is to really love what you're doing. And this picture was taken at like 6 a.m. in the morning. The program coordinator went out for a walk, and they captured this photo. And it wasn't something in the social media plan, but she just posted it and wanted to know if people could ID these footprints. 20 likes may not seem huge in the grand scheme of thing, but prior to that, I was told that they didn't have many likes. So this opened up a new rhythm for them to start posting on social media. Tracks are interesting. They're fun. They also have set up an area where a post where they collect little critters and show their feet. For whatever reason, people really love that, but it creates that discussion prompt for them to talk about that animal and their biology. When we share, one of the huge points we'd like to make in extension is to attribute, to carry on kind of our legacy of research-based information, or just to source where we got things so people can go and do the homework. So the Master Gardeners created a policy, and often, not every time, but often they cite their information such as this. If you tag back to the account that has that Facebook, again, it's just a great way to network and a great way to earn trust in a network. So how do we know how to do this? Well, we pay attention to our metrics, and we report on these, pay attention to our volume. And when we're not getting engagement, that can be really discouraging. So for our service provider audience, we're still trying to crack that nut because not everybody's comfortable sharing their comments on social media. But we are growing, and so by paying attention to that and then asking and answering a simple question, what happened this month in support of your programming, it helped create all of these stories I was able to share, to pay attention to when we make followers, to pay attention to what gets the like, and even to pay attention to mobile trends. You know, part of the reason we're probably not getting many comments is because our material is kind of thick and heavy and people are on their mobile phones and they don't want to write an essay. So figuring out how to engage them in light ways is important. The last point I'd like to make is to cultivate a presence. I think this is very developmental. And so just to look for those incremental steps to build those quality connections can be very helpful. Eventually, we see those connections start to overlap and that grows and grows. So some of the things we need to do are just to connect with each other to get new ideas because you have to stay fresh and creative. And some of the ideas are to say what my husband said. He's like, are you going to go there and just tell him to hire somebody? Sometimes it just takes us going back and saying we need support, we see value in this, and we need someone to help with great material creation or to help us be more creative. So I think those are our steps in creating healthy habits and hopefully cultivating a network of those who care and share. So I have an idea for you. There is a Facebook group that's all about sharing social media, and there's a training, and that little group cultivates those discussions. And so the other point to that is the master gardeners that are choosing, they know those boundaries really well. One of them is a retired psychology professor. So we've had that discussion. You really have to make sure a lot of times that they have advanced diagnostics training, that they're experienced master gardeners. Yeah.
Okay, this is a little bit of a loaded question. Frank Long from Bayer Crop Science.
Yeah.
All right, so I am definitely in the public relations area, and a question I get from the business a lot is, how do you measure the impact of your social media worker, right? And like, for example, if I throw metrics at them, like, oh, we had 12,000 impressions and engagements, I may get a very, very blunt question, like, what does that translate into as far as either increase in sales or, say, like, bills not passed at local or state level, so on and so forth. And that, I think that's tricky, and especially in this type of public outreach type of program. So your thoughts on measuring actual impact?
Yeah. Okay, so I'm not the evaluator on our project, but I do work with a developmental evaluator who's just brilliant. And one of the things I understand is that I think where I see the impact is that we create new program pathways that we hadn't thought of. So we have a target audience of military family service providers. We have a target audience of cooperative extension professionals. If our cooperative extension audience that we're working on gets bigger and bolder, that's, to me, is a sign of impact. If we develop new programming that supports the general military family supporter and helps them to be more connected in the network, I think that's where the program impact is to me. So it connects. I think social media is so integrated into the way we work and the way we evolve that we have to connect that. But Google Bridget Scott if you want the technical answer on how that works.
Mm-hmm. All right. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for questions. But if you have some questions, feel free to ask some of our speakers at the end of this session.